Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Been a good week. Weather ain't been too bad. Had some cold days, but we made it. We're going to sing Christmas carols.
Yeah.
How about it? 105, please, and let's stand. 105. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you for our church. Thank you for my church family, Lord. Thank you for getting us here today, for being with us this past week, Lord. Take care of us, our needs, Lord. Everything we need, Lord, you provide. Thank you so much for it. Thank you for giving us comfort, Lord, and peace in our lives, and a little bit of joy, Lord, here in this Christmas season is about upon us. Thank you, Lord, for these songs. Thank you for what they mean. Help us, Lord, to remember our Savior, especially today, Lord, here as we're anticipating communion today, Lord, after our pastor speaks. I just pray that we really realize, Lord, what the Christmas season is about while we do partake of that cup today. Be with Pastor today, Lord. Give him the power that he needs, Lord, to speak your message today, that it might touch someone's heart, Lord, that they might get right with you before they leave the building. Lord, there's folks that are sick in our congregation. Some spiritually, Lord, but a lot of them physically, Lord. I just pray you'd be with them all. You'd make them well, Lord, that we'd see them back here in your house with us today. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see. 117, please. 117.
Christ is born of Mary and gathered.
angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together claim the holy birth and praises sing to God the King. Peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gifts give. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His hand. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where we souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings sound. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Thank you. Let's see. Tonight's our evening service, 6 o'clock. What should you expect from your pastor? The completion of that service, some pretty good stuff. Agenda items for the quarterly meeting are due on the December the 7th, and the meeting is December the 11th. Wilton Bible Study is December 8th. Iron Sharpens Iron is going to meet the 17th. We have personal evangelism scheduled for the 13th. And the Christmas message is going to be a children's message, so don't forget that. If you're in the building during non-church hours, please shut the lights off when you leave. Okay, good idea there. Caroling, December 13th at Premier States at 5 o'clock and in Lutheran Living Area at 5:45. Pastor's Talk for the Week, the ultimate gift. His name is Jesus, John 3:16. Guys, you come forward and we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for just a precious day, Lord. Sun shining, blue skies, Lord. It's just even a little bit warmer out, Lord. Thank you for that. The opportunity to be here again, Lord. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We just pray for our leaders, Lord, our country. We pray, Lord, that we might see revival, Lord. We know it starts within us, but it might spread like fire. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with the gift of givers. We take up this offering, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Jason's going to play for us now.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Praise God. Let me get myself all hooked up here with my dental equipment. All right. Well, the song I'm bringing today is a little unconventional for what we normally do, so bear with me on that. It's a song that was actually requested by Devin, who comes here And I'm kind of sorry to see that he's not here today for that. Sorry about that. Anyway, it's a song called Me and God. And it's been modified just a little bit. And so if he listens to this sermon, then he'll probably get a few surprises on it. And before I get started, let me go ahead and read Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. All right. For the glory of God.
God is. And I heard many of his attributes and names mentioned there in that song. I'd like to hear that again sometime and look into it even further. But one of the important names also which means God with us. And so today we are going to focus on the time that Jesus had here in this earth for 33 years and a little more, and to understand the significance of why he came here to this earth, why he was sent by his Father. And it, my friends, it's because God loves people. He loves us. He loves you and I today. And we needed his love. Amen. And so that's what it's all about. This is the season of joy, although every season should be one of joy for those that have trusted in Jesus Christ. But I greet you in his name this morning, and we have a message that's going to run in a little bit of a series here in the next few weeks, but it's based on the journey with Jesus from the cradle to the cross. And so today we'll investigate that as part one. And I look forward to enjoying and sharing some time today in fellowship with the Lord around the communion table today, as we also remember vividly when he came here as the God-man, his body that was broken for our sin and his blood that was shed to cover our sin. So with that in mind today, it's a wonderful day. Every day is God's day, and it is the day he has made. So let's rejoice and be glad in it. Before we start today, I do have a card I'd like to read that was given me this morning, and it will be posted on the board. But it's a card that says, "Church family, may the heart of Christmas, the love of Jesus, the joy of grace, and the peace of God be yours today and always. A blessed Christmas. Love and prayers, Larry and Patsy, Starla, and family." So thank you, Larry, for that card. We again wish and pray that for you as well, and we'll be sure that this gets posted on the bulletin board today. Well, with that in mind, let's go to prayer, and we'll see what God has for us from his book today. And let's pray today that there be growth in Christ. As has been my motivation here for several weeks now, I'd like to take just a few moments, because we do call this a worship service, but a time of silent reflection now as we prepare to meet our Savior in prayer, and in this time when we would bring him adoration. Do you adore him this morning with all your heart? This is the time to get that settled before we go into this service, because he is a great God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we need to let him know this morning we acknowledge that in our lives toward him. Shall we pray together? Lord God, we thank you this morning for this day of your abundant grace that is yet shed upon this earth and upon us personally. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who is in control of all things. Father God, that you are the sustainer and creator of this universe through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are concentric around you as the center of all creation. We praise you today, Lord. We extol your name. For those of us that have had our eyes open, we realize that it's all about you. It's not about us. It's not about the things of the world, but it's all about you. It is your story, history. And we thank you today that you saw fit to include your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as well in the lives personally of humans. And we know, Lord, that he was the creator. He's the one that spoke the creation into being. But you sent him also as the Redeemer, because man strayed from you and fell into sin and transgressed and against your law, Lord, your holiness, which plunged us into a broken world. We thank you, though, that Jesus came out of love, your love for humanity, and he made a way back that we could be brought back into fellowship with you. That's why we're here today, Lord, to give you thanks and praise. It's all about you. Now, Lord, as we look into the celebration of your birth, help us to be very careful how we approach that. But I believe this, Lord, we ought to have joy in our hearts, not only today, but every day, about what you have done for us. Thank you that you came and loved the unlovable. And, Lord, you made yourself known. You made God the Father known through yourself. You are the Logos, or the very image of God the Father that came here as both God and fully man, fully God and fully man. So, Lord, this is a dynamic thing. We here in the biblical, genuine Christian faith understand that this is something that is beyond human comprehension and human doing. It is a divine thing. So we give you praise this morning. Now, Lord, I'm thankful for all that have come today. Lord, I'm always concerned for those that don't. We have a whole community here in our midst. Lord, we have some of our own number that are experiencing difficulties. It could be a physical thing. It could be a spiritual thing, Lord, today that might hinder someone from being here. But we know this, that you're on call today, Lord. You're just a call away. And I pray, Lord, today as the great physician that you would heal our ills. Now, Lord, we do pray for one in particular this morning that may be undergoing surgery at this time, and that's Lyle Stahlheim. Father, I know you're working in his life. I pray today that you'd preserve his life, but also, Lord, that he would be drawn closer to you through the things that have taken place. We pray for Judy as well today, Lord. And Father, again, may this time that we look into your word today open our eyes, help us to better understand what takes place and what took place. And we thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to come for our sake. Now, Father, I pray you'd bless and help me in my frailty as I deliver the word today. And, Lord, it's a privilege to be able to have that responsibility and bring that honor to you today. And we just ask now, Lord, for your presence and your fellowship among us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I don't want to announce this following communion because I don't want to disrupt the service. But after communion today, we are using glass cups, and there are enough cups for everyone today. We were going to pass the plates, but I would ask that you bring your cups up and place them in these plates following the service. We'll say no more about that. We'll enjoy our fellowship together. But friends in Christ, what an interesting and joyous time it is as we remember and celebrate Christ's birth. The love of God come down to man as our Savior, Redeemer. Redeemer means the one who bought us back from the slave market of sin. Is anyone happy about that this morning? Or excited about that? If you are born again in Jesus Christ, you are not headed to condemnation in hell for eternity, but you're headed to glorious living for all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in our very presence in heaven above. That's the love of God that came to us that day in Bethlehem, over 2,000 years ago. Now, we know a few things here this morning, folks. We know, and I'm not going to preach about this, but I just want to remind us that the idea of Christmas, okay, is something we want to be very careful about because it does have its roots in a pagan festival with the winter solstice. It's been used for economic gain and greed, coupled with Jesus not having even been born this time of year. You know all about that. And there is no biblical mandate to celebrate something called Christmas or his birth. But here's the thing I want to bring to you today. Neither does the Bible say we shouldn't celebrate his birth. So we're here to celebrate his birth, right? But understand, it's not just in December. Jesus wasn't born in December. The Bible tells us approximately when he was born. And that's in September. But you know what? If people are thinking about Jesus now, let's celebrate and let's introduce Jesus to others today and in this season when they at least are thinking about it and we still have the opportunity to bring that to him. So we're going to celebrate and we're going to celebrate big this year because you know something? One of these times we may not have another year to celebrate. And we'll be celebrating with Jesus, but let's celebrate here. Anyway, the Lord has led me, and I've elected to spend a few weeks examining Jesus' journey from the cradle to the cross. Let me just say this, folks, this morning as we explore this, Jesus' life here was one of on the go, and it was one of hardships. Now, we don't have our nativity scene. Nativity means the place of our birth. And, of course, we know in the Scriptures, Jesus was born in a place called Bethlehem. He was born in a facility to house animals because there was no room for him to be in another place. But that was all symbolic because Jesus came as a servant. Sometimes when we think about the Christmas season, we like to see everything perfect, our homes decorated perfectly, No fighting in the family. Just a wonderful, warm, and fuzzy time. But I want to tell you something, folks. That was never how it was for Jesus. When God came to earth in the form of His Son, it was rough. Jesus and Mary and Joseph were on the run most of the time when He came here. They were homeless. And we're going to see borne out this morning by how they traveled. They were not living the easy life. It was not a warm and glowing thing. The Bible does share some portions of that with the encounters that people had when Jesus was a baby. But never forget, this was not what it's portrayed to be, even in many biblical settings. It was rough. Now, how does that have anything to do with us? Because, folks, let's lay it on the line today. Most of us have had a pretty good life here living in the Western cultures and in America. But even so, and even despite that, there are people in rough circumstances this morning. It could be all of us in this room that are in rough circumstances today, right? We don't show it, but let me just tell you, folks, nothing's changed. This broken world is not an easy place to live in. But Jesus came to rescue us from what we think is so great, because it's not. And the thing I like about Jesus, you know, He doesn't just come to preach to us like I'm preaching here this morning. He did do a lot of that. But Jesus lived what He preached. He didn't come as the upper echelon. Our Lord Jesus came as a servant. And the book of Hebrews tells us very clearly, He knows what you and I experience today, because He's been there and He's done that. And He's even done more than probably most of us will ever encounter in our own lives, in the walk He had here on this earth for 33 years. So we're going to take a look at that. He covered a lot of territory as He accomplished His Father's will on earth. Never forget, He came not as a conquering and mighty king, but as a servant, a humble Savior King. Jesus' travels were not glamorous, they were glorious. His travels were not glamorous, they were glorious, bringing the glory of the Father to a glimmerless world. A glimmerless world. So let's go along with that journey this morning. We're going to set the foundation for that. And then Jason has a map of Israel up here on the PowerPoint for us this morning. We're going to just briefly examine where Jesus went in the first years of His life. You'll be amazed, and I am amazed as I studied this again, at all the things that happened in that life as He was just a babe and a young child. So this morning, let's do a little biblical exercise to be reminded about Jesus and that connection that we can have with Him, that He did not come here and experience an ease. He came here with a mission. By the way, let me ask you today, what's your mission in life? What's your ambition in life? I'll tell you what, my friends, I've strayed in that. You have too. But our ambition in life should be to emulate Jesus Christ. That's to live for Him. That's to understand where He was and to take up our cross and walk with Him and follow Him today. That's the Savior that we serve today, who came as a servant for us. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 to begin with. We'll let Scripture speak for itself this morning. But here it is from the hand of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. He says this to those believers. He says, "Let this mind be in you." In other words, Paul's saying, get your heads on straight. That's the phrase that I use. Get out of the thinking and the train of your mind and get into a Christ-like thinking about what goes on around us today. And he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." In other words, Jesus is and was God. But he made himself of what? By the way, does God deserve to ever be dragged through the dirt? The God that I serve, the God of the Bible, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He in no way deserves anything. He does not need to be touched by sin. His wrath against sin should cause every one of us to be what today? Condemned to eternal punishment because we have transgressed against the God of the Bible. That's how serious sin is. But God came to help us in spite of what we deserved. He came and gave us what we didn't deserve. And you know, that's called mercy. God is a God of mercy. Here it is. But made himself, verse 7, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's who Jesus is. And yet you and I can know him today just like Jason sung. I had no idea what the song, but we can know him as a friend. All those things that Jason sung about today, we can have that here today. Jesus is in the midst of us here today. Go back to Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Mark 10 and verse 45. Understand this again as we realize that Jesus did not come again for the high and mighty. He came to serve. He came to serve you and I. He's a wonderful God. Jesus says this himself in Mark 10, 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, that word ransom, what do we think about when we think about a ransom? A kidnapping, or someone's got a lever on you, or over a barrel. You know what? Satan has you and I over a barrel until we accept the ransom that Jesus paid for us. You ever think about that today? My friends, people that are lost today in their sins and trespasses, there's a ransom to be paid that they can't pay. Only Jesus' superior, perfect, sinless sacrifice can pay and supersede for our sinful failure before Almighty God. He came to pay our ransom. Now, a little joke about that. There aren't figures small enough to pay for my ransom in the physical sense. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not worth a lot. But to God, you and I have worth. The priceless blood of his sinless Son paid our ransom. Galatians 4, 4 through 5, real quickly. We'll set the pace here, and then we're going to rock and roll, not literally. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. Here again, we're setting the foundation for the Lord Jesus here and his coming. I also want to just remind us that what I give you this morning is not the end of what the Bible says. It's just a tidbit of the beginning. But when the fullness of time was come, this is Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. By the way, the fullness of time. We've talked about this before. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, for everything there is a time and season for every purpose under heaven. God is perfectly on time. His timing is perfect. When he sent Jesus, the world was in the midst of one of the biggest crises ever. And it had to do with a lot of it with repression from the Roman government. But God knew that people were needy, and he sent Jesus at exactly the right time. God knows today if you're needy. Let me just say this. If you're here and you're not born again in Christ, you never received this pass, had this ransom paid. If God's calling you today through the Holy Spirit to get saved, you do it. But I've got more to say than that. If he's calling you today and you're being nudged about it today, you won't be able to not get saved. Because it's God who calls us to salvation through the Holy Spirit from the preaching of the word and the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Don't waste your day. I better not get off the track here this morning, but I illustrated to a class in school, and now I can't remember. I think if the Bible says in Psalm 90, average people live to be 70 years old. That's around 25,000 some odd days. But I showed them where I was in life, not by saying my age, but I said, I've got about 2,400 days left if I make it to 70. Boy, that hits you hard when you think about that. And listen, if you're over 70 in here this morning, you're on God's grace. But I want to tell you, life is a process of subtraction. And you've got less time today to get things right than you did yesterday. Think about that a little bit. The days are hastening on, like the Bible says in Isaiah, by prophet bards foretold. And we're going to meet Jesus Christ one of these days, person to person. Either if you're saved at the judgment seat of Christ, where we're adjudicated for our works after we've been saved, but God forbid anyone would be at the great white throne judgment. Because Jesus is going to bang his gavel and he's going to say, I never knew you. You tried to get to me by what you did, not by going and trusting in what I did for you. It's big stuff, folks. The days are passing on. But when the fullness of time, or the right season, was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law. By the way, that's how Jesus got his humanity, through Mary. To redeem or buy back them that were under the law, that we might have the adoption of sons. Folks, all of us have an earthly father and mother. But I'll tell you what, our earthly father and mother will fade. But when we're adopted into Jesus' family, we're home for good. Matthew 8:18-20. I mentioned here earlier, Jesus was homeless. Was he not? Not all the time. They had some places. We'll look at that here a little bit in the message. But when he was born, and through many of those times, he was a stranger. He was a sojourner, a traveler. By the way, that's what we are as well, as his children. We're just passing through. This is not our home. Our home is with him in heaven. Matthew 8:18-20. This is what Jesus said. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. By the way, be careful what you promise to Jesus. I can't do that all the time because I'm weak and broken. Jesus understands that. He understands it very well, what it was like in his humanity. He was fully God, fully man. He was tempted by sin, but he would not sin because he was God. He could not. But understand what Jesus said here in verse 20. He said unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus was alone in this world. He was not separated from his Father. But folks, he knew the worst of things that could take place. And he endured them, not because he deserved it like we do, but he did it for our sakes as the precious Son of God. Okay, there's the foundation. So let's look at his early journeys today. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. By the way, the Bible is the ultimate history book. And I know that we do have a pointer up here this morning. but I think we do anyway on one of these. Maybe we don't. The clicker, Jason, or anyone know? Well, you got the clicker back there. So someone can put a little point up there if you see it with the laser, okay? It does. That's right. We learned that before. But you'll be able to see. You'll be able to see. Okay, when we think about Israel in Bible times, and to a great extent today, not a lot has changed. There's three key cities here that we want to look at this morning on this map. Jerusalem is kind of in the center here. Jerusalem is in a place called Judea, so when you see that in the Bible, nominally Israel was divided into three different areas. Judea on the bottom, the south part, and then you had a place called Samaria. It was partway in between. That's spoken of in the Bible. And then up there where that town of Nazareth is was called Galilee. So here's the first thing. And we know this to be the fact. When did Jesus, again in his humanity, first come onto the scene? Well, here this morning in Luke 1, 26 through 38, we're going to find out that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit at a town called Nazareth, clear up there in the north end of Israel. By the way, just a little review. His conception, or when Mary's egg, again, was fertilized, not in the human sense, but where it was miraculously made into the God-man, turned into that embryo, it was an act of who? The Holy Spirit, an act of God. It's something we cannot even explain. And by the way, it was not an immaculate conception because Mary was a sinner. She's just like you and me. She was a chosen vessel that God used. But understand this thing, it's called that Jesus was called this holy thing. He was not just man, he was the God-man. It's called the hypostatic union. Enough of the fancy talk. He was conceived in Nazareth. Let's look at that today from the text. I'll read it quickly. Luke 1, 26 through 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. By the way, the sixth month here that's referred to is Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, with an S. To a virgin, by the way, we'll hear about that later too, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. They were engaged at the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Mary means beloved. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt, and here it is, conceive in thy womb. By the way, women normally conceive where? In their fallopian tubes. Okay? And we won't go into the male-female genetics, but it's a different process. But here it says she would conceive in her womb. It is not the usual process. It could not be tainted by sin. It had to be miraculous. And he shall be great. Well, wait a minute. And shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. And and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. And we want to go through 38. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, the servant. It took a servant to bear the servant king. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. By the way, I've heard this from ladies before and guys. Oh no, my wife's pregnant. I know where we're coming from on that, but listen, folks. The birth of a child is a blessed event. The conception of a child is a miraculous event, even though it wasn't in the same way this is done here. How God works that. And Mary, she was just thankful to be a servant. Lord, help us to be servants when we bear our children. You know, they're really blessings. They really are. So there it is. Jesus was conceived in Nazareth. Now we got to rock and roll here this morning. Nazareth of Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem. Do you see where that's at, or do you need me to point that out? You see it there toward the lower end. By the way, roughly how long is Israel? How you know, up and down is it? I don't remember the exact figures, and I didn't look it up, but from memory it's 120 to 140 miles. About halfway or two-thirds of the way across Iowa. Israel's not a big piece of ground, and still isn't to this day. Luke 2, 4 through 14. Luke 2, 4 through 14. Now you remember the whole thing here. The Roman government said, pay your taxes. Joseph went to pay his taxes because they were where? They were at Nazareth, and they had to end up going where to pay. Why? Because that's where Joseph was from originally, his family. Excuse me. So here it is, Luke 2, 4 through 14. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Yes, I know north is up on a map, south is down. You know why Joseph went up? The Bible's talking about the elevations. Some people have said, oh, the Bible's wrong on that. Everyone knows north is up. No, it's the elevations. To be taxed with Mary. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger or a cattle feeding bunk. They were on the run. The Roman government had rooted them out of Nazareth when Mary was close to delivering. She was in her third trimester. And they had to go down to Bethlehem. Did they have to go down to Bethlehem? Well, they did, because the prophet said Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. That's found in the book of Micah. Anyway, she gave birth to Jesus because, again, there was no room for them in the inn. You know what? If people would have known who Jesus was, the coming Lord, a few did, a few were looking for him, they would have put someone else out of the inn and put Jesus in the inn. But he was born in rough conditions in a cattle stall. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born homeless, and he was that way much of the journey that he was around. By the way, Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread, and Jesus is the bread of life. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And of course, he sent them right to that place where Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes and was lying in a manger. So we see how that all took place. He was born in Bethlehem. 8 days later, he was in Jerusalem. Does anyone remember what that's about? By the way, did you travel a lot with your newborn? If my wife would have been on a donkey headed from Nazareth down to Bethlehem and out in a barn. But Mary was a sweet servant. Joseph was an obedient, loving man. By the way, Joseph is a great example for men, for believers, in the way he conducted himself. But he was circumcised in Jerusalem when he was 8 days old. Luke 2, 21 through 24. So we're right there now. Luke 2, 21 through 24. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's at the temple. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. By the way, Mary and Joseph were so poor, that's what they had to give. They could not present a better gift. This is where Simeon and Anna come to play. We won't look at that this morning, but that's where Jesus was on the eighth day. He was here in Jerusalem. Now, is that the end of his journeys as a young child? Well, no, it's not. The Bible fills us in and clues us in on that very well if we study it carefully. The next place Jesus went was back to Nazareth. And let's look at Luke 2, 39 through 40. Luke 2, 39 through 40. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. But now there's another little thing that we find in Scripture. He went to Nazareth again, but then he turned around and he comes back to Bethlehem. So let's look at Matthew 2, 8 through 12. Matthew 2, 8 through 12. And this can be a little confusing, but if you look through it, you can't read, you can read certainty, but you have to understand that the Bible shows different little snippets of how this went. And I think this is very interesting when you look at it. Matthew 2, 8 through 12. As soon as I get backed up here, one more page. Matthew 2, 8 through 12. Now remember what was going on here. Herod, the Roman puppet governor of Israel, was out to see who this king was that was supposedly born, because he was what? He was threatened. He didn't want any other king but him. Now, so he sends these guys, I call them the wise guys, but it's the wise men, and he sent them to Bethlehem. Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, by the way, the key here is what? We know this is not 8 days after his birth, because he is what? He's an older child. Yeah. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Yeah, right. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped, opened their treasures, so on and so forth. So he was back in Bethlehem at some point here. We don't know the exact amount of days, but we can infer here maybe a year or 2 years, or maybe a few more than that. So back to Bethlehem. And now Matthew 2, 13 through 18 tells us his next stop is going to be Egypt. And we don't have that on our map, but if you can imagine this, Egypt is somewhere over in here. Okay? Jesus did a lot of traveling for a young child, didn't he? Before cars, automobiles, anything else. But he was all over the place. And there's a symbolism to that again. He was on the run. Here it is, folks, Matthew 2, 13 through 18. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young man to kill him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. That's Hosea 11:11, by the way. You see, this wasn't just a thing where there was a bunch of wandering going on. God had a predetermined reason for all the things that took place. And again, it keyed and centered around Jesus Christ. Now the last thing today. After the experience in Egypt, and we don't know how long that was, where did he come back to? Back to Bethlehem. He was headed back to Bethlehem, but he was diverted. He never got there. You know what it means to be diverted. Plans changed. The itinerary was changed. This was the human thoughts, but God overrules what humans think. God overruled what Mary and Joseph thought about him going back to Bethlehem. And he says, no, you're going to go back to your home base, Nazareth. Let's look at that, and then we're going to be finished. But this is very interesting how this all took place. Matthew 2, 19 through 23. Matthew 2, 19 through 23. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Jesus was not born in Nazareth. He was conceived in Nazareth. So his birthright, in a sense, had to be proven out here that he would be a resident of Nazareth. So that's the early days journey of Jesus. Kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? And again, the Bible leaves off then exactly the ages of that, but we next see Jesus presented when he is gone with Mary and Joseph to the temple. Remember, they took off for home, and he was there, probably around the age of 12. But Jesus was a sojourner in this world. He had to deal with the effects of sin, and God protected him and used him to deliver him eventually from the cradle to the cross. Like Jesus, all of us have been on a journey. Some with him, some without him. He invites you to come along with him today. And for those who may be tired of the journey, could that be anyone too? He offers rest and reconciliation. He says, come into my inn. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Folks, he's close at hand today if you will respond to him. He's not going to force you. Although he may call you with a call that you can't resist. Now as we prepare for the memorial of his body and blood that paid the price for our salvation from sin, let us examine our relationship and journey with him as we sing number 562, Just As I Am, verses 1 and 5. Lonnie, I'll ask that you come forward at this time. Today, as we anticipate the communion service, the idea here today is that all are served. We are all servants, and that even includes Lonnie and I if we choose to participate, that no one here has to do this by themselves. It's offered for you just like Jesus offered himself for us. Let's sing and contemplate the Lord Jesus now, just as I am. Just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou
stanza 5.
And so with that, Lord, we do come to you today around your table. What we have here in front of us today are symbols of Christ's body and his blood. There is no salvational effect from these elements. This is a supper or a fellowship time around a table that the Lord Jesus called his disciples to. And today, if you're one of his disciples bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, today he asks us to do this, to remember and do it vividly of what he has done for us in his body which bore our sins and in his blood which covered or atoned for our sins at the cross. Everyone is invited to his table as long as we have these criteria met, and that is we are born-again believer, or that in our lives today we have impediments to true fellowship with the Lord Jesus and one another. He tells us through his servant, the Apostle Paul, it's better to pass these things by than to bring condemnation upon ourselves. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so today, I invite you to examine your lives as these elements are passed out. This is not a time to look around who does or does not receive them. As Lonnie and I pass them out, this is your decision. We do not. This is something between you and the Lord. But know this today. Jesus wants us to be in fellowship with Him and with one another. And He wants, again, this time to be a remembrance of what He has done for us. Lonnie, I'm going to ask you to ask God's blessing now and thank Him for the body of Christ who bore the sins of the world on Calvary's tree.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you that we're here today to listen to a sermon, Lord, but also to remember what our Savior did for us. Because of you, Father, you made a way for us. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you for letting us hear a little bit of the story again, Lord, of when He was just a babe and came into this world. Lord, the awful thing that He had to do, but Lord, He did it because He loved us. He loved you first, and then He loved us also, Lord. He lived here amongst us. As Pastor said, He knows our pain. He knows what we go through. But now we have a chance just to remember what He did for us, Lord, on that cross and in His life here. Thank you that He gave His body for us, Lord. Thank you that it was broken for us. Thank you that He rose, Lord, on that third day. And He lives today. And those of us that know Him as Savior, Lord, He lives within us. Help us to never forget it, Lord, and to live like we know it's there. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us as we do so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's fine. Okay, then I'll come back here. Thank you. Go on ahead, Lonnie. I'll just come down. In the upper room, when Jesus had given thanks, He broke the bread that was there before them that day. That bread there that day was unleavened bread. It had no symbol in it of sin, which is yeast. But He symbolically broke that among His disciples, and He gave thanks and said the following, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner, He also took the cup. This time I'm going to give thanks. The cup here is fruit of the vine. It is not fermented. Again, fermentation is a symbol of sin, but this accurately represents Christ's sinless blood, which was shed on Calvary's cross to cover or atone for the sins of the world. Father, thank you today for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus, for you being the willing servant, the precious Lamb of God that was raised up a substitutionary atonement for the sins of man. You gave yourself and you shed your blood. Without the shedding of blood, we know there is no removal or expunging of sin. And you gave it, Lord. If by faith we will believe it and receive what you did, the Bible says we have been forgiven. And when Jesus, and when God the Father looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus that covers our sin. We thank you for that today, Lord. May this be a vivid remembrance as we pass this cup amongst those that love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." It was customary that Jesus sang a hymn with his disciples. We've looked at that before in the text. Today, as another symbol of fellowship as we depart this place, we're not going to sing a hymn. But today, extend your hand to someone that may be on a treacherous journey through life. And if that's you, you know, let people know, I need help on this journey. But let's be aware of this today. Jesus will help us on this journey. He knows where we came from. And he came for our sakes. Let's be dismissed today with the Aaronic blessing. Shall we stand? May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. Have a great day in the Lord. Don't forget to bring your cups up.